This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are your closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. March corn, 449.5, up 4.25. May corn, 455.5, up 4.75. July corn, 460, up 5. March soybeans, 1361, up 23.5. May soybeans, 1347.75, up 22.75. July soybeans, 1330.25, up 22.75. March wheat, 612, up 13.5. May wheat, 607.5, up 11.25. July wheat, 611.25, up 10.75. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. I'm Bob Reese, and this is Tuesday's report of the grain prices and trends prepared by the USDA and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were higher on Tuesday afternoon, with exports to China, tight old crop supplies, and commercial buying soybeans rallied. Wheat found strength in transportation problems in Canada, and corn was higher on the coattails of higher wheat and soybean prices. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 5 to 6 cents higher at 420 to 445. Soybean bids were 22 to 24 cents higher at 1308 to 1352. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 4 to 5 cents higher at 423 to 447. Soybean bids were 23 cents higher at 1340 to 1365. And in the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 5 to 8 cents higher at 433 to 453. Soybean bids were 26 to 29 cents higher at 1353 to 1387. And wheat bids were 13 to 14 cents higher at 605 to 646. Now, the Illinois Soybean Processors Cash Soybean bids were 19 to 24 cents higher at 1368 to 1381, with the basis steady to 5 cents lower at 7 to 20 over the March. High Pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at $494.90 to $496.90 per ton, and that was up $1.90 to $6.90, with the basis steady at 5 lower at 38 to 40 over the March. Illinois corn processors cash corn bids were 4 cents higher at 445 to 457, with the basis steady at 5 under the March. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 3 to 6 cents higher at 468 to 472. These elevators raised their soybean prices 23 to 38 cents, with quotations of 1405 to 1406. Soft wheat closed 13 cents higher at 651 to 652, and Milo ended the day 4 to 5 cents higher at 509 to 510. Now on to contract bids to producers for new crop delivery. Starting with corn in the northern and western part of the state, it was 424 to 439. Soybeans were 1092 to 1127. In the central part of the state, corn was 424 to 439, and soybeans $11 to 1127. In the southern part of the state, corn ranged from 423 to 444, and soybeans were 1103 to 1143, and wheat was 571 to $6. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. February live cattle, 143.75, up $1.15. April live cattle, 142.12, up $1.02. June live cattle, 133.52, up $1.22. March feeder cattle, 171.70, up $1.22. April feeder cattle, 173.20, up $1.85. May feeder cattle, 173.75, up $1.97. April lean hogs, 97.37, up $1.20. May lean hogs, 105.40, up $1.35. June lean hogs, $107.32, up $1.20. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday the 18th's afternoon livestock report. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 49 to 57, 4 to 5 weights 50 to 61, 5 to 550 weights 55 to 63, and 550 and up 56 to 65. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts of country buying points were trading a dollar higher, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from 58 up to 62. Receipts for Illinois hogs today total 11,711 head. And now from the Greenville Livestock Auction Special Replacement Red Cow Report, they had receipts of 475 head. One owner dispersal of mostly registered cattle was met with very active trade and good demand. Starting with the stock cows, medium and large, one young open heifers, they ranged in price from $10.50 up to $17.20. And bred cows, medium and large, first stage young, were $1,800 to $2,500. Bred cows, medium and large, second stage young, were $1,800 to $2,500. Bred cows, medium and large, third stage young, were $2,025 to $2,900. Bred cows, large, third stage, middle age, were $2,000 to $2,600. And third stage, aged cows, were $1,000 to $1,650. Cow-calf pairs, medium and large, one young, $2,050 to $2,950. Cow-calf pair, medium and large, middle aged, $1,900 to $3,100. And aged cow-calf pairs were $1,350 to $2,550. Now over to Fairview for the special feeder cattle sale. They had receipts of 1,212 head. Starting with the feeder steers, medium and large ones. Four weights were 199 to 201, with some fancies at 238. Five weights were 185 to 204, with some fancies at 218 to 231. Medium and large heifers. Four weights were 186 to 196, five weights were 161 to 187.50, and six weights were at 155 to 174. They also had some large one steers, large group of 105 head, bring $156 to $160. Now from the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report. There was no reportable trade today. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 323 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $95.91, and that's 52 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses $211.99, and that was $101 higher, with select carcasses at $210.72, and that was $1.70 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 115,000. That compared to 112,000 last week and 121,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 425,000, which compared to 424,000 last week, 423,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. February and March corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.54. February and March corn delivered to Scottville, $4.45. February beans delivered to Greenfield, $13.73. March beans delivered to Greenfield, $13.57. February beans delivered to Scottville, $13.62. March beans delivered to Scottville, $13.46. February wheat delivered to Scottville, $6.16. Once again, their pre-opening prices are corn at Greenfield is $4.54. Corn at Scottville is $4.45. Beans at Greenfield, $13.73. Beans at Scottville, $13.62, and wheat at Scottville, $6.16. More than 70 congressional Democrats are asking Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack to delay the new law cutting food stamps. According to a letter signed by the lawmakers, the states need time to adjust their policies to accommodate the cut made to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program in the Farm Bill and roll out the changes seamlessly. New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand is leading the charge, asking lawmakers to sign off on the letter asking Vilsack to delay the provision that cuts $8 billion in food stamp aid until next fall. The markets reopened yesterday after a long weekend. I spoke with Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions about what we can expect to see this week.
Well, I think we could have a volatile week overall with an increase in the flow of fundamental news, starting off with, of course, the markets being closed on Monday, so that pushed USDA export inspection data back. That'll be really critical to see the amount of soybeans that were shipped last week, to see if China continues to be aggressive in taking U.S. soybeans or if they're shutting that off in favor of South American beans. And then the NOPA crush report later in the day, which will give us a good idea of whether we're continuing to crush at record to near record levels or whether that's starting to slow as well. I think we will have set a new record close to 163.5 million bushels for the month. So that could be supportive, or if we see numbers fall short, that could really mean the high is in for the soybean market. So a lot at stake there. Then as we go into later in the week, Thursday and Friday, is USDA's annual outlook forum, that meeting that USDA has with media people and industry people every year at this time, which seems to throw water on any type of bullish embers that might be out there. We received their baseline projections last week for the major crops, and many in the trade were surprised that they had a much smaller acreage shift in there, but that was really what could be expected for the numbers that were developed in November by statisticians not talking to farmers. But USDA will have an opportunity to change those balance sheets before they release them once again on Thursday and Friday of this week. So between those factors, I think we could have some big swings, some potential surprises, and a lot of energy starting to come back into the grain and oilseed markets.
So the acres could be a little bit bigger than what they're letting on so far.
Well, I think that we'll see USDA increase their soybean acres. If they don't do so, I think they're failing to catch on with the trend right now, what producers are saying in intentions on a national basis. It obviously varies from region to region, but nationally that's definitely what we're seeing. And I think probably fewer corn acres than what they reported last week. What really is going to matter is the March 31 planting intention survey results, where they've actually surveyed and asked farmers. So we've got another 5 to 6 weeks or so to wait for the results of that survey. In the meantime, the trade will be focused on this. Interesting also to see what USDA does with their demand estimates for the outlook form. I felt like they were far too conservative on demand estimates, particularly for soybeans going into China in their baseline projections last week. Unfortunately, USDA has a tendency to stay conservative on that and to underestimate demand, so I'm not sure how much of adjustment they make, but that's another possibility that we could see.
Again, that was Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. This week is FFA week. Illinois State reporter August Sheeter, formerly from the Southwestern chapter, came into the station to talk about FFA week and the FFA organization.
Yeah, FFA week's a great week for us. We have a jam-packed schedule, but that's how we like it. We started the week at the Grain and Feed annual meeting, and throughout the week, the officers are all spread apart all throughout Illinois, getting out to chapters, and that's one of our favorite times to go to these chapters and see what they're doing to thank their alumni and also their recruitment plans for other members, because FFA week's a great time for FFA chapters to showcase what they've been doing throughout the year and let those non-members know what they can do and the possibilities of the FFA.
It's definitely a great chance to raise awareness for the entire FFA organization.
Yeah, and oftentimes other teachers in the building don't realize what these members are doing when they go to conferences and things like that. And lots of schools have got into the habit of having luncheons every year for their teachers, or they have appreciation breakfasts to let them know what they learned at National Convention and different events throughout the year that the students get out of school for. And also, it's a great time to get out in the community and let the community know about FFA. A lot of times, everyone thinks that FFA is just about the future farmers of America, and they don't realize the leadership qualities that FFA promotes and also the career readiness that FFA promotes with all the different careers in agriculture that help support the production agriculture base that we're all familiar with.
You speak of FFA as a great learning experience. Do you mind sharing some things that you think you've learned throughout your FFA experience?
FFA has taught me a lot, from bookkeeping with my record books, so keeping records on what I was doing and being tax ready, but also things, skills that we often might not think of in an agriculture education. My freshman year, I learned parliamentary procedure. And parliamentary procedure is Robert's Rules of Order and how you effectively run a business meeting. And that's a skill that I can use in any industry, because all the major industries use Robert's Rules of Order in their meetings. So that's a very valuable skill that I learned in the FFA, and one I didn't expect to learn when I joined my freshman year of high school.
And if they don't know proper parliamentary procedure, those meetings tend to go a bit slow.
Yeah, meetings can be slow and inefficient, and that's just the way that makes our members very professional and looks good on their resume of a skill that they know, and an employer doesn't have to worry about training them in that. And that's a really, really valuable skill, I think.
Very true. And what are you hoping to do with the FFA and your experiences from here?
My experiences from here, my teammates and I are hoping to plan a great state FFA convention. It's at the Prairie Capital Convention Center, and it's going to run June 10th through the 13th. And so we're hoping to put together an agenda that is as valuable and impactful as the state conventions we went to, and hopefully be able to inspire those 3,000 FFA members that come out of our 17,000 in our membership.
And do you have any certain goals for college or a career afterwards?
After my year's service, I will be attending the University of Illinois this fall in the Department of Crop Science, and hopefully after that, return home to the family farm and maybe do some plant breeding as well.
Sounds great. I can definitely speak for the University of Illinois as an alum from there that it is a great college, and I hope you have a great time there.
Thank you, and I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Well, is there anything else that you wanted to add before we go here today?
I'd just like to encourage anyone that maybe isn't active in their FFA chapter or is wanting to become active in the FFA. There are numerous ways to help out. Students can join into activities, but for the community, there are several ways to get active. And if you're interested in helping out the FFA, my suggestion is to contact the local ag teacher and let them know that you're willing to assist, and they know what they need. Some teachers would often like help with volunteering your time. Others might need a monetary donation for a new greenhouse or things like that. So there's tons of ways to become active in the FFA.
Again, that was August Cheater, Illinois State FFA reporter. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.